Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Right, so I get to do the message for today. For those of you who I haven't had the privilege of meeting, my name is Andrea Williamson. I'm a deacon here at St. Andrew's, and I am absolutely honored to be here to offer the message today. So it's kind of an exciting time of year, right? New Year's, new you, is that how we look at it? Right? It's kind of nice to have a fresh start at the beginning of every year, right? We could take it any time, right? We could take it at the beginning of every week, at the beginning of every day, but it's kind of nice time to give us a fresh start. This typically when we have this desire to set New Year's resolutions or goals or think about what we want to accomplish or achieve. We strive for doing better or more. We may set goals for our health or our fitness or our work or our business or even our relationships. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. And what I want to explore with you a little bit today is how we might reframe our New Year's resolutions or goals a bit this year. How can we line up what we want to achieve with what the Bible says is God's will and purpose for our lives? Not just some of the time, like when we're at church here, or in public, or when we're posting something on social media, but how can we truly live God's will in all that we do so we can be all that He created us to be? As we explore this together, let's keep this quote in mind by Bernadette Devlin. "The will of God will never take you to where the grace of God will not protect you." God has a plan for each of us. He created this world and everything in it, and He cares about each of us and everything that happens in our lives. Excuse me. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I don't know about you, but I find it very comforting to know that God's will is good and pleasing and perfect. So God's will is good. God is good. Everything He created is good. He also promises in Romans 8:28 to cause all things to work together for our good. And in Psalms 145:9, we learn that the Lord is good to all. And God's will is pleasing. We read in Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." So not only is God teaching us how to live in an acceptable and pleasing way, but He is actually doing the work in us. And God's will is perfect. We may not know God's plan, but He sure does. And He assures us that He will bring it to completion. Okay, full disclaimer here. I am not a biblical scholar by any means, and I am not playing one up on stage today, so bear with me as we go through the scripture, okay? As I was preparing and reading about God's will, I learned that there are two types of God's will: His sovereign will, and which is what God has determined will happen, okay? And His moral will, or His will of command, which is what God desires to happen. So God's sovereign will is inevitable. It's unchangeable. It's His comprehensive purpose, which will bring him praise and glory. This is what will absolutely, without question, be done. God has made plans for each of us, and he actively prepares us for certain callings and gives us unique gifts to serve others and glorify him. Okay, really little interesting science tidbit here. Did you know that scientists have calculated the odds of you being born to your parents at the exact time that you were born at, is about 1 in 400 trillion. That's some really crazy odds. And if we look at the definition of a miracle, a highly improbable or extraordinary event, development, or accomplishment that brings welcome consequences, I would say by that definition, you, each and every single one of you, is a miracle. And we don't have to just believe scientists. We can also read in the Bible, and we find that in Psalms 139, we read that, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, I know it's easy to forget this and easy to fall prey to that inner voice, or maybe even voices of others around us, telling us, "You're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're never going to be able to do this, or you're not cut out for this, you don't have what it takes." Well, I am here to tell you that from what I read in the Bible, I believe those voices are wrong. I believe each of you is a child of the Most High God. I believe each of you was made in God's image. I believe he knew each of you before you were born. I believe each of you were made for a unique purpose. I believe that the one who breathed this universe into existence is looking out for you. And I believe that living the life you have been created for begins by believing that you have been made by God and for God. So when the world or those voices come up and tell us that we are defined by our looks or our age or our achievements or our struggles, we need to remember to rest in the truth that our true identity comes from God alone. We read in Isaiah 64:8, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And we read in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Now we know God doesn't fly by the seat of his pants. He plans ahead. He's planned this long ago. And Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, that God has given us each a spiritual gift to help each other. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Paul also wrote in Romans 12:6, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." It's really important to recognize the gifts that we've each been given, and then to take it the next step further and allow the Holy Spirit, or to receive the Holy Spirit, to work within us, to get us excited about using those gifts to serve others and ultimately glorify God. Now, we live in a society that praises self-recognition, fame, self-promotion. Athletes, celebrities, people in power, they seem to be rewarded or even idolized for their prestige or status. The rest of us may try to find happiness in following suit, not necessarily by trying to become famous or holding a position of power, maybe instead by trying to make it look like we've got it all together, when really we don't, or by telling ourselves we're self-reliant or self-sufficient. But we find those voices we talked about earlier, they come back quickly, that say we aren't good enough. So the lifestyle of self-worship, it may glimmer or shimmer for a little while, but eventually the shine wears off and someone with more sparkle comes along and they get more likes, or the likes for us stop coming. Thankfully, we are made for a life that is so much more than being about us or for us. We read in many different times in the Bible that we are to glorify God in all that we do. We have been made to glorify God with our lives, to make Him known, not to promote ourselves. We find our true life's meaning and purpose, our true joy and peace, when we shine the spotlight on God instead of ourselves. Now let's go back to the second type of God's will, God's moral will, which is His moral command for us to act a certain way. He gave us free will to choose to obey Him or not. And He has commanded us on how to live each day. His moral will is for us to pursue a relationship with Him and His guidance in our daily lives and decisions. He wants us to accept Him as our God and profess our faith in Him. Now, living God's will may not be easy at times, that's for sure, but it will always be worthwhile. When we pursue Him and follow His will for our lives, we will experience the most amazing joy imaginable, because we will be living out the very purpose He created us for. I think the most important thing for us to remember is that if we seek to live His will, He will show us what to do. Jesus Himself told us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Even when we're not really sure which direction to choose, we can be encouraged by what we read in Psalms 32:8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Let's explore what this really means, though, to align with His will on a practical level. How does this look? How do we know we are living God's will? I think some things we can do to help figure out God's will and plans that He has for us are to first read the Bible and line up our actions and decisions with His word, which is truth. He teaches us what our lives should look like as Christians. By reading Scripture, we learn what He desires for us, and He will help us achieve it. He will never lead us astray or down a wrong path if we follow what is written in His word. I believe we also need to believe that we are loved unconditionally. God wants to have a relationship with us, each of us. We can live God's will by seeking Jesus in all His fullness, above everything else in our lives. Jesus taught us unfailing love, and we can love others the way Jesus loves us by accepting that we are loved unconditionally and that nothing at all can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not our failures, not our brokenness, not our self-reliance, nothing at all. And we are told that if we pursue Jesus to have a relationship with Him, we will find life, righteousness, and honor. The other thing we can do is pray. Come before God humbly, with vulnerability, bringing Him our praise, our gratitude, our questions, our concerns, and listen. Listen for His whisper, His voice of discernment. He promises to be our lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Now, I already read this scripture earlier, but I want to read you read to you from the Message translation of the Bible, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So this year, let's commit to seeking God's purpose and plan for our lives and truly live God's will in all that we do so we can be all that He has created us to be. Let's use the unique gifts God has given each of us and figure out our exceptional work, our true purpose, our vocation, our calling, so we can glorify Him by serving others. To finish up, I would like to close by reading a quote from Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art, Winning the Inner Creative Battle. Are you a born writer? Were you put on earth to be a painter, a scientist, an apostle of peace? In the end, the question can only be answered by action. Do it or don't do it. It may help to think of it this way. If you were meant to cure cancer, or write a symphony, or crack cold fusion, and you don't do it, you not only hurt yourself, even destroy yourself, you hurt your children. You hurt me. You hurt the planet. You shame the angels who watch over you. You spite the Almighty who created you, and only you with your unique gifts, for the sole purpose of nudging the human race 1 millimeter farther along its path back to God. Creative work is not a selfish act or bid for attention on the part of the actor. It's a gift to the world and every being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you've got. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please help us to grow in relationship with you and strengthen our commitment to pursuing you. Help us align what we want to achieve with your good and perfect will for us. Help us to use the gifts you've given us to serve others and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.